Oh, how's everybody again? Good? Awesome. Now, this month is the month of love that we, I noticed there's a lot of song about love today in your, on your schedule. And so we're really teaching on love, and you're really going to make an effort. Next month, you don't have to love anybody. Forget it. It's going to be something else, right? But this month, you better be good, okay? Huh? Yeah, we have a video. Okay. Jonah, can you put the video, please? Good. Thank you. Love is a hard subject, okay? Hard subject because there's so much we have to learn about love. And you know, I probably not be the best person to speak on love. Probably I would pick other people that are more lovey-dovey and nicer and whatever. But it doesn't matter. God calls us to walk in his love. Because we have his nature. Remember Pastor Travis spoke about the nature of God, and he said, when you're born again, in a minute, in a flash of a second, the nature of God comes into you. And then when the nature of God comes into you, you cannot do anything else but look at other people. My wife, when she got saved, she was crying for 2 weeks. And that's the reason I didn't want to get saved, because I didn't want to cry for 2 weeks. I thought that was the norm. You get saved, you cry for 2 weeks. I never seen anybody else. And you know, when and I knew her, and she, there's some people she didn't like in her family or whatever around, and she had love for them. In a twinkle of an eye, in just a second, you know, the thing that she didn't like about people, it was gone. And I could see that. And that's why I committed my life to Christ, because I saw God's love in action. So God is expecting us to see his love in action in our life. And what happened to us is, as we get saved, we get on fire for God, after a while, we don't read our Bible, or we don't attend church, or whatever, we don't pray, we don't do what we're supposed to do, and slowly that love leaks out of us. And that's not what God intended to be. He intended this love that he poured into you just to go forth to other people. Pretty simple. But sometimes we get focused on ourselves, on our own needs, on our own ways, and we stay away from God's love. You know, we don't give it out. Who wants to give God's love? All right. So you don't have to give it to me today, but you have to give it to somebody else, right? And it's hard because I was reading, Pastor Travis talked about three kinds of love, and I just want to overlap this because maybe some of you weren't here. Remember one that he spoke about? Agape was the God kind of love. Anything else? What is it? Eros, yes. Was it? And the last one was filio, brotherly kind of love. All right? So those were the three kinds of love, and he talked, and they're all basically described in the Bible, right? English is a poor language. I know you all speak English. It's poor because it doesn't describe a lot of words. You know, like the Greek would do. Greek has words for everything, and it's a little bit in French like that. We have some word for everything, which is not the same, and it represents something else. So, but let's speak English, okay? Tomorrow is family day. Happy family day. Tomorrow is family day. There's an opportunity for you to share your love with your family. Okay, your friend or whatever, whoever comes to your place. Maybe nobody, but begin to think that way. How can I share my love for other people? And we're going to look at a few things that can stop our love here and keep it going. 1 John 3:23. Okay. And Pastor Travis talked about that. And this is the commandment that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's a faith statement. We have to believe in the name of His Son to be born again. Okay. And then the next one is, and to love one another as He gave us His commandment. So His commandment is not 10. We're in a new covenant. It's 2. Love God with all your heart and love others like yourself. If you do those 2, you do better than the 10. This is the 2 that we... Now, the next scripture is found in Ephesians. Chapter 3, verse 17, which says that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. So the first statement, you meet God through faith, through Christ, and that you being rooted and grounded in what?
Love.
In love. Okay? So God is saying your root has to be in love. Your root has to grow in the soil of God, has to go into the ground, you have to be rooted in love. Tell your neighbor, I want to be rooted in love. All right. You have to, because this is God's word. He says, you know, you don't be rooted in selfishness or all kinds of other wicked things. You're not rooted there. You're rooted in God because God dwells in you and He roots you in love. That's you. That's you. God made you to be a love bucket. And a love bucket just pour all the time and pour all the time. All right? And this thing that can stop you, but let's read it again, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, there's so much in 1 Corinthians 13. I could not talk about everything. And today I want to take one little word. And it's 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, which says, yeah, and I'm not really looking at that. That's okay. You're good. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 says, pursue love. Pursue love. So God is saying to you, friends and family here today, pursue love. Go after it. Pursue it. Because that's the title of my message. It's pursue love. Jacques, you have to pursue love. Cindy, you have to pursue love. It's a commandment. He says, you know, commands us to pursue it, go after it, find it. Anybody ever pursue something? You pursue it bad, it was so in front of you, maybe it was a job, maybe it was a girl, maybe it was a boy, maybe it was an accomplishment. You just pursued this thing. It was in front of you all the time. I remember my first car. I remember because I had no wheels, and I was 18. 18 years old, you gotta have wheels, right? And I had picked this black. It was a black LTD Ford 65, right? Beautiful. And then I remember after when my son was 16, I gave him a station wagon. Right? Remember the station wagon? I'm sure you didn't pick that one, right? Anyway, what happened is I was just laying in my bed and I could see the car driving on the wall. You know what? So I pursued this thing. I'm going to get this thing. I'm going to go to the bank. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And I pursued it until I had my hands on it. The guy didn't want to sell. But anyway, I was so in love with the car, I bought it. I had it. And you know what? Pursue something like this. God wants us to be rooted in him and to pursue love. Go after it. It's going to work for you. It's going to really change you. So are we going to read chapter 13? Okay. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13. And as I read it, I'll speak about it, maybe comment about it. Though I speak with the tongues of man and of angels, but I have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. That's if I don't have love. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountain, but I don't have love, I've got nothing. That what it says? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say I've got nothing. It says I am nothing. I am nothing. If you don't have love, you are nothing. And you know, this is God's word. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, profits me nothing. You know, there's so much depth into God's word. We could take one little line and just chew on it, and you know, it could change our life. Love suffers long, okay? Suffers long is mean, I think it means patient, isn't that right? So, it's kind. Love does not envy. And I want to tell you here, there's 8 don't and 7 do to explain love. Meaning if you're going to love and you're going to start to love, you're going to have to focus, that's the word, focus on the don't. This thing that you cannot do, that's a don't. Don't do that. If you want to love, if I want to love, my friend, there's things I cannot do. But there's things I can do. And sometimes we think, well, love is just a do. No, love is more a don't than a do. Does that make sense? I don't know where it came from, but I believe it's okay. Okay. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. How many of us did we parade ourselves before? You know, it's not puffed up. You know, we're proud maybe because I can sing or maybe I can do things or achievement or whatever, and it puffs us up. We've all been there, all done that. And that's not love, because You know why it's not? Because what it shows to the people who's looking at you, they can see you, and they can see you puffed up, and that's not love. Hey, that's a don't, right? How many don't is there? No, that's the do. There's less do than don't. Always remember that. Okay. Does not behave rudely. Anybody ever told you you were rude? Somebody tells me often, you're rude, right? But not so often anymore. It says, does not seek his own. Doesn't seek his own. Love, don't seek his own. So we're looking at a lot of little things here that selfishness, it's grounded. It's rooted in the flesh, the don't. And the do are rooted in God. I like the do, and I like the don't too, because, and it's so amazing how God gives you, you know, the do's and the don't. I don't know why he gives us the don't, because if I tell the kids, don't eat a cookie in a cafe after a service, they're all going to be there. And maybe some of you are going to be there too, looking for those cookies, right? Just because somebody said, don't do it. Some people will dare you like that. Don't seek his own. Is not provoke. Not provoke. Not provoke. You know, people can provoke you, and you can get upset, and you can lose your cool, and they're not going to see the love of God in you. Think no evil. So, don't look at me like I do all those things. I try, you know. And I don't look at you like you do all those things, and I know you're trying. We're all trying. You know, every day it's a different walk with God. And you know what? Because God has put his spirit within us, he's a check marker. You know, you've been to a place and you go to say something and then you get no. That's so quick. No, don't say it. That's because God is trying to teach us love. Because the very thing that you were going to say is out of bounds, is too far, is going to put somebody down, or whatever it is. The Holy Spirit knows, because he's in us. And he's the one that checks us all the time. So how many people heard the voice of God? Say, don't do this, really quick. You did it anyway, and then you felt bad. I should listen to him. Right? We all did that. So, but this is love. There's so much into it. It says it does not rejoice in iniquity, meaning sin, but it rejoices in the truth. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things. And it endures all things. Now, if we could walk in this type of love, where we can bear all things, where we can, walk with all these, the things that I've mentioned, or the do's and the don'ts, I believe God would be glorified in our life. We went to a convention a few years ago. I was a young Christian. They really ministered to me. And it was in the state, and the big convention, you know, a few thousand people. So after the service, we went to McDonald's to eat. Right? McDonald's. You like. Anyway, we're sitting and eating, and the speaker, the guy who was speaking, he was a missionary, well-known missionary. We knew them. He comes in with a couple of guys and to McDonald's. And before that, just before he came in, there was this lady, this Spanish lady, because it was close to the border. And she had two, three kids. And, I mean, the kids were loud and noisy. And she was yelling at them. In those days, you could do that. Now you can't do that anymore. But in those days, she was yelling at the kids, smacking them and everything. And she was causing a disturbance. Bands. Right. So he just comes in the middle of that. And he said to the lady, "Wow," he said, "those kids are beautiful. How many you have?" And he started talking to her about her kids, about her. Changed the whole situation. And then I said, "Wow, I want to be like this guy." He not only preached love on the pulpit, but wherever he goes, he changes things, situation, because of the love of God that's in him. And because I was a new Christian, maybe a year or two in the Lord, and I didn't know too much, I saw somebody preaching there and somebody doing something, and I said, "That's how I want to be." Yesterday at the wedding, we were talking to a pastor and his wife, and she says, "I used to smoke." "Yeah, I used to smoke." And I said, "Why did you smoke?" "Well, the pastor's wife was smoking." So I thought, well, if the pastor's wife smoke, by the way, the pastor's wife here doesn't smoke, okay? If the pastor's wife smoke, then I can smoke. And she, you know, not even thinking about it, begin to smoke. See how our life, our action that we show, you know? And if I would do stuff here questionable and you would look at me, and then you may end up doing it, because the love of God is not at work in my life. And if the love of God is not at work in my life, then it's going to affect you. And if you go out of here and you do things you're not supposed to do, then it's going to affect somebody else. You won't even know, because you may do something, you may be puffed up, you may be hangry, you may be drabber, whatever, you may yell, you may swear, or whatever, can destroy your testimony because you are not walking in love. So important. God is depending on us to walk in love so we can change whoever is around us. So where were we? Okay, I've got 15 minutes here. Okay. Love never fail. God is saying, love never fail. Now, tell your neighbor, love never fail. All right, good. That's good. But whether there's prophecy, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there's knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. And I believe that's when Jesus comes back, man alive, he's the perfect one. Everything's going to be done away with, whatever. When I was a child, I spoke of a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, I know he's talking about believing here, but I just want to use this scripture as being a boy and being a man. I used to be a boy. I was a boy for a long time. I don't know. I used to play in the sand. Little car. You know, little truck. And everything made out of wood. Now they have everything made out of plastic and all that stuff, right? Anyway, but I grew up. One day, I finally grew up. Yeah. My wife says, I grew up, you know what I mean? I used to be a child, think like a child. But in our love, in our life, we can act like a child. When we don't act the way we're supposed to do, we don't walk in love, then to me, we're childish. I mean, we are mature in Christ. We know him. So we have to act our age when it comes to love. And that's why I'm saying, you can't be a child. You have to be mature in Christ and begin to walk and step in the step of love towards other people. But he says, now I am a man and I think different. So my goal is for you today, when you get out of this place, to think different about love. Think that you can change something at your work or wherever, because you're doing the right thing. At the right time. You're saying the right thing at the right time. You're following the Holy Spirit. For now we see, verse 12, in a mirror dimly, but when face to face now, we know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And verse 13, I want to talk about a little bit, which says, and now, faith, abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And now, abide faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of this one is faith. Okay, love. Okay. Good. I want to make sure you weren't asleep. I want to read the verse 13 in the Amplified Bible. Anybody has the Amplified Bible? You do, okay. And you correct me if I'm wrong. Verse 13, that's what it says. Love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. I'll just repeat that. You say, well, that's not what it says. That's what it says in the Amplified. Love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. And I just want to tell you, this week I was looking at, anybody ever heard of Carla Faye Tucker? You did, right? Well, the story is, in 1998, she was the first woman to be put on death row, meaning they executed her in Texas. Her crime was, she was drunk with her boyfriend and doing drugs, and they went into a house, and they killed the man and the woman, cut them to pieces with axes and knife, butchered them like you butcher meat. Now, that was a big crime, and about a month and a half, they got caught, and she was sent to jail. Now, what happened to her was she didn't know God. She was raised in a family. The mother was a drug addict, and the father was an alcoholic, and there was no function there. And I mean, people know what from wrong, but anyway. What happened to her, she went into a meeting, a service in a church. And she stole a Bible from there and brought it into her cell. And she began to read the Bible for the first time. She never went to church, never heard about God. Began to read the Bible for the first time in her life. And as she read it, after about an hour or so, she fell on her knee. And she says, God, forgive me. And she said the love of God came into her. She never experienced that. That's the love of Christ, right? When you come. She said, and it just said, she said God forgave everything, because before that she was not even sorry for what she did. She was hardcore prostitute. She was not sorry, but when the love of God came in, Christ came in, the love of God came in, she began to weep and fell on her knee and gave her life to Christ. And she says from that time on, she began to go in the jail, wherever. She said she could not stop the love of God that was in her to go forth to other people. And you know, I've listened to her testimony, and she was so amazing. How she can love God, been forgiving from all those crime. Anyway, in 98, she was, they wouldn't stop, because for 14 years she lived in jail, a new life. All she talked was about Christ. All she did is go to other people, because it was the love of God that was shed in her heart that was going forth. That's what God wants. You don't need to be the biggest criminal. You just need to be saved from your sin. And that's when the love of God comes in your life. Then you can go to other and bring what you have. Because now you're not rooted in the past. You're rooted in Him. And in Him there's no darkness. In Him there's light. So, what do we pursue? What do we pursue? We go after it because that's who we are. All right. Verse 14 says, pursue love. And I looked in the dictionary and it says, definition says, carry on, to continue, and to go with it. Okay, go with it. So when you leave this place, you go with what? You go with love in your heart. Okay? Definition also, to pursue something is to go after it in a relentless and determined manner. To pursue something is to go after it with a relentless and determined manner. Meaning you go for it. You don't stop. You don't stop. The Amplify says, eagerly, okay, just a minute. Chapter 14, verse 1, it says, pursue love. Now, I know when they wrote the Bible, there was no chapter and verse. So I know that pursue love there, and it says desire, spiritual gift is there. It's funny that the chapter 13 talks about love is sandwiches between 12 and 14, which talk about the spiritual gift. It's kind of like right in the middle, right? Everything we do in love, even in the gift. You know what I mean? And the Amplify says, verse 14, Diane, why don't you read it? Yeah, just about what it says about pursuing love.
It says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love and make it your aim and your great quest, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments, gifts, in brackets, especially that you may prophesy, interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching.
Okay, so just read the first one again, slow.
Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love and make it your aim, your great quest.
Yes, eagerly pursue, eagerly go for it and aim for it. I mean, I remember a few months ago, I brought my bow here. Oh, yeah. How come you don't forgive that? You forget that. And I was standing over here and there was nothing there, I guess, and I put my target there. And I forget if I shot two or twice or three, but three times. And two went in the target, but one didn't. So a good thing, Gloria, you weren't in the cafe at that time, because I went right to the wall. So what happened? I missed one, but I got two. Walking in love is the same thing. You're going to miss some, but you're going to get some. And as you get bigger, and if I would practice shooting, I probably would get three out of three in the target. But as you practice walking in love every day, whether it's at the base, whether it's at the store, whether it's at home, whether it's on the phone with somebody, because somebody can kick you off on the phone and you get upset, and you know you can just be arrogant or whatever, you can walk in no love. And sometimes you're going to miss it, but sometimes you'll hit the target. You'll go right on the target. But aim to succeed. And aim to walk in love. Okay. Well, my time is getting short. I want to share about how many knows Romans 5:20 says, love covers a multitude of sin. That means many, many sin, whether it's your sin, whether it's somebody else's sin, the love of God will cover many sin. One day I was in Fort Worth, Texas. Fort Worth prison. Yes, over there. And I was talking to this prisoner and I said, how did you commit your life to Christ? You were saved. Oh, well, it's a long story. Well, I said, tell me. Well, he said, me and my two buddies, we We were in jail and we escaped. And when we escaped, we saw a house someplace, I forget, but I don't remember all the detail, but he went into that house and there was an old man and his wife there, an old lady. And they came in with knives and, they want to live. They don't care. They couldn't care less about anybody. But what happened is when they came in and they went to free. The old man, the old woman wants to. Matter of fact, the woman, she said, "What? Hey, Sunday boy, put that knife away. You could hurt somebody. You know, put that away." And you know, and anyway, she started talking to them like she knew them. And all the time she was talking to them, she says, "You know, Jesus would not like that." And then, after a while, they broke the line, the telephone line, and everything. She gave them the key for the car. Said, "Take the car, but don't damage us." Anyway, she made them tea and coffee, gave them toast and whatever. You know, they ate. There was no fear in them. You know, if somebody comes in your house with knives and all that stuff, they might seize. Who knows? Anyway, all the time she says, "You know, you guys, you got to know Jesus as your personal Savior." And, you know, they went on and did. And she kept saying that. And then anyway, they took the car and they left. They got caught not that far after. And he came back to jail. When he was in jail, he was thinking about that. No, these two, they had no fear of us. All they talked was about Jesus. And he began to focus on what she had said about Jesus. And the man got saved right there in jail. That's how he got saved. To somebody that walked in love rather than walked in fear. You know, we have a choice in our life to be like this couple, you know, to be strong in the Lord. I mean, who cares if you die? Right? Who cares? At least I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to share Jesus while I'm doing it. And that's our mindset. That's the mindset of people, Christian in Africa or in other country. They don't care. I mean, I live or I die. I'm going to stand for Jesus. But here, we're watered down by a lot of stuff. And I won't go into that. All right, So love covers a multitude of sin, okay? Love will transform you. And love will transform others. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 says, pursue love. Make a choice. Make a choice to do the do. And make a choice to do the don't. It's just not going to happen unless every day you say, today I'm going to make the right choice. Today I'm going to walk in God's will. I'm going to make the right choice. I'm going to hear His voice. And the love of God will be manifested in my life. How many wants that? You want the love of God to be manifest. You know, Jesus says, when you come into heaven, He's going to put your arms around you and He's going to say, well done. You know, you don't need to build some big ministry. You don't need to have some big things. All you need is to walk in love and obey God's commandment. And when you do that, you can come in heaven and God can say, well done. Because today you walked in love, yesterday you walked in love, and before that you walked in love. Well done. He's going to put His arms around you. He's going to hug you. And you're going to say, Lord, I'm so glad I know You. Aren't you glad you know Him? Aren't you glad He's your Lord? So He's asking a little thing of us every day to look and say, today is going to be a special day. I mean, I don't care if they yell at me. I'm just going to smile, you know, and I'm going to. I might change his life or her life in front of you. Because they cannot get to you. Because in order to get to you, they got to get over God. You won't allow that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Isn't he great? So how many is ready to go out and walk in love? At least today. One day at a time. One day at a time. Tomorrow, it's another day. I'm not saying you don't have to do it tomorrow, but I say you got to think about it. You got to make an account of your life and say, yeah, today I'm going to walk in love. Tomorrow is another day. Tomorrow comes. Today I'm going to walk in love, and I'm going to change things around me. You can. All right, let's stand up. God is good.